Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted. All of Psalm 112. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the power, the grace, the wisdom, the strength that rests upon your word. And we thank you in a special way for your word during the season in which we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. More and more open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to better understand what a tremendous sacrifice you made in coming into the world, making a way for us to be saved and spend all eternity with you. Help us all to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Hey, Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask you to speak to us now. Father, I ask that we'd be reflective, that we'd spend time thinking about all the ways you've been faithful to us in the scriptures and to us personally, Father. Thank you so much for the church. Thank you so much for growing us in maturity. Thank you so much for growing us in faith. Father, I ask that you'd call out more people to step out more in faith, to step out more in ministry. And Father, I ask that as we go into this Easter season, that we would spend more and more time just thinking about Christ on the cross and his resurrection and what all that means. The fact that we've got heaven waiting and the fact that he's coming again. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're very blessed and honored to have with us once again students from the Tupelo Christian Preparatory School. And we have a number of students that will be reading today. They're going to be reading the resurrection narratives as found in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're honored to have with us these students. And I'm going to mention their first names, and they will start reading from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. We have with us today Max, Huddy, Skyla, Ariel, Sydney, Courtney, Gunner, Davis, Brady, Leila, and Mayer. So again, we're grateful to have them to read through the resurrection narratives, beginning with Matthew chapter 28.
Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there."
As the women were on their way, some of the guards went to the city and told the leading priests what had happened. A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, "You must say, Jesus' disciples came during the night while they were sleeping and stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you don't get in trouble. So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm always with you, even to the end of age."
Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Saturday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The woman were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus named Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now you go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died." The woman fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. After Jesus rose from the dead early on a Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out of seven demons. She went to the disciples, who were grieving and weeping, and told them what had happened.
But when she told them that Jesus was alive and she had seen him, they didn't believe her. Afterward, he appeared in a different form to two of his followers who were walking from Jerusalem into the country. They rushed back to tell the others, but no one believed them. Still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. And then he told them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed." When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs.
Luke 24:1-12. But very early on Sunday morning, the woman went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. The men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened.
Luke 24:13-23. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them, but God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped, short sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened. They're the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth. They said he was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago." Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive.
You've been listening to students from Tupelo Christian Preparatory School reading through the gospel narratives of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power and the grace that rests upon your word. Thank you for the encouragement, the edification, and the strength that flows into our minds and our hearts as we read your word each and every day. Help us as believers to grow in understanding of the need for us to have the spiritual habit, the discipline of reading and meditating on your word, and help us to be mindful of the great blessing that it is as your word ministers to our mind, body, and spirit. Help us to be wise enough to teach and train our children, as well as ourselves, to read and meditate on your precious word every day of our lives. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, reading through the resurrection narratives in all four Gospels. We'll be right back.
Soul awakes to give you all the praise.
The music of Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life and eternal salvation. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're privileged to have with us today students from the Tupelo Christian Preparatory School reading the gospel accounts of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're ready to pick up now at this time with Luke chapter 24, verses 24 to 35.
Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the woman had said. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it is getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. Then they said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, The Lord has really risen." He appeared to Peter. Then the two from Emmaus told the story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread.
Luke 24, 36 through 53. "And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. 'Peace be with you,' he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. 'Why are you frightened?' he asked. 'Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands, look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do.' As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, 'Do you guys have anything here to eat?' They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Then he said, 'When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, 'Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are all witnesses of these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with the power from heaven.' Then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting hands to heaven, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. So they worshiped him, and then he returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy. And they spent all their day in the temple praising God."
John 21 through 10. "Early Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. She said, 'They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him.' Peter and the other disciples started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stopped and looked and saw the linen wrappings laying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there. While the while the cloth that had covered Jesus's head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed. For until they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead, then they went home.
Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stopped and looked. She saw two white robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angel asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her, who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go to and get him." "Mary," Jesus said, she turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go find my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. The Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leader. Suddenly, Jesus standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds on his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord.
John 20:21-31. Again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord," but he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands. Put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." The disciples saw Jesus do not do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name.
All right. Praise God. You've been listening to students from Tupelo Christian Preparatory School reading through the gospel narratives of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as found in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. At this time, we're going to have some of the students, they're going to pray for us. The first student that's going to pray is Ariel.
Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for letting us come here and worship you and speak on the radio. I encourage that some people that don't know you will come to know you, Lord, someday. And thank you for everything you do for us. Amen.
And next, Gunner is going to say a word of prayer.
Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. I pray that you can encourage us to do more of your will, Lord. I pray we can have a great rest of our day, Lord, and encourage us to speak your word and make our actions turn to you, Lord. I thank you for this beautiful day that you gave for us. I thank you for creating the whole world for us and letting us be here at the radio station. I thank you for everything that you've done for us, Jesus. I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Next, Davis is going to lead us in a word of prayer.
Dear God, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to come here and read scripture of you and worship you. We love you and thank you for this day today, and thank you for all the many opportunities you've given us to serve you and help others do the same.
All right, and then our last student that's going to lead us in prayer is Brady at this time.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Can you please help us as we go forth this day, Lord, to point people towards you, Lord? Can you please help the kids and adults, Lord, to be able to read the Bible more fluently, Lord? Can you please help the people that are sick in the hospitals, Lord, for them to feel better, Lord, and point and for God to help them, Lord? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, you've been listening to students from the Tupelo Christian Preparatory School reading through the gospel narratives of the, specifically the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you all so much for coming and being with us today. And thank you for reading the word and leading us in prayer. What an honor and a blessing to have these blessed students with us. And let me say to every parent, every grandparent, and every believer that works with young people and youth, it's such a beautiful thing to introduce a child to Jesus Christ and help them to come to know Christ as his or her Lord and Savior. And it's such a beautiful thing in turn then to begin to disciple that young person, to teach and train them to become students of God's Word. Remember, when you're reading the Word of God, you're spending time in the presence of Jesus. He's ministering to you. He's pouring his grace, counsel, wisdom, strength, and insight into your mind, your heart, and your life. Everybody needs that. So the habit of reading at least three chapters in your Bible every day is a wonderful habit, and we're wise to make that a vital part of our daily walk with the Lord. Now, keep in mind, if you're one who says, well, three chapters is not enough for me, I want more, wonderful. You can't get too much word. It will bless you more and encourage you and edify you more and more. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the grace, the peace, the power, the light, the strength that rests upon your word. Thank you for how our lives are blessed and enriched in so many ways as we make spending time reading and meditating on your word one of the high priorities of our lives. Father, with every passing day, more and more, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word. And help us to know, Lord, that when we're reading and meditating on your word, that we are spending time one-on-one with you, that you're touching our lives, you're encouraging us, you're molding and shaping us to become more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is for us to be able to freely open your word and spend time with you in the word. Help us to be wise enough to read your word, hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it every single day. Help us to grow an understanding of how wise it is for us to utilize your word in all of those ways. Again, with every passing day, help us to grow an understanding of how important it is to make use of it in those ways. Again, to read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, meditate on it. Lord, help us to know, Lord, that again, your Holy Spirit more and more freely works in us and through us and upon us as we fill our lives with your word. Thank you for the gift of your word. Lord, thank you for the beauty and the power found in each of the accounts of your resurrection in each of the four Gospels. And Lord, I thank you for the beauty of the voices of these precious young people, these young boys and girls that read your word. Oh, Lord, anoint each of these young people and anoint more and more all of our children to have a love for you, to have a love for your word, and to have a commitment to want to read your word and meditate on it each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. Lord, thank you for each and every one of us that we've lifted up in prayer today. Thank you for us as believers. Thank you for us as your church, and thank you for us as a nation. Help us, Lord, as believers and as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us to not take your name in vain. Help us to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back. Music of Carrie Job with Forever. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Reading from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere." "But why did you need to search?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Again, Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. Lord, thank you again for the wonderful, wonderful truth in the Word of God that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover Lamb. And thank you for the many insights and truths about our salvation that we learn as we look at the powerful theme and truths behind Christ, who is our Passover Lamb. Thank you for sending your Son to be the Lamb of God, our Passover Lamb. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. At this time, I'm going to share an article that if you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. The article is entitled, Christ, Our Passover Lamb. Again, Christ, Our Passover Lamb. Exodus 12, verses 5 to 7. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Again, Exodus 12, 5 to 7. Then Exodus 12, verse 11. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Again, Exodus 12, 11. Then Exodus chapter 12, verses 12 to 13. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Again, Exodus 12, 12 to 13. Then Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 43. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. Again, Luke 2, 41 to 43. Matthew chapter 26, verse 1. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Matthew 26, then verse 1. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been crucified. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. The Lord Jesus Christ is the key figure in all of the Word of God. He is, in fact, the Word of God. Passover is a huge topic in all of God's Word. The powerful story of the Passover first unfolds in Exodus chapter 12. From there, God clearly commands his people to observe the Passover as a feast every year. The Passover lamb is central to the celebration, and the Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. So the title and symbol of the lamb are one more picture to help us better understand who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. It also helps us better understand why he came and the tremendous sacrifice he made for us. In Exodus 12, the lamb was killed and its blood was used to save the lives of the firstborn Hebrews. This happened in Egypt on the Passover, the first Passover. Similarly, the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself and died on a cruel Roman cross to make a way for us to be saved. And it's his blood that washes away our sins and makes us new in him. It's by and through Christ that we are saved, transformed, and made brand new in him. The sacrificial Passover lamb's blood was applied to the door of a household, and that act of faith and obedience caused the destroyer to pass over that household, allowing the firstborn of that household to live. There are many houses in the land of Egypt where there had been no blood applied. In those houses, the firstborn died. Similarly, when a person receives Christ as Lord and Savior of his or her life, salvation comes to that person's life. Christ's applied blood washes away our sins, and God's judgment passes over us. The wonderful and powerful story of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, is found in all four Gospels. Each account is profound, stirring, and edifying. We would be wise to take time individually and with our families to read all four accounts. Read and meditate on them. Take time to really think about the pain, the torture, the cruel death the Lord endured so that you and I could be saved. Allow them to speak to your life and heart and bless you. Finally, allow the story of Christ, our Passover lamb, to stir you to be a passionate witness for Christ. Every day of our lives, we should be about the work of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every day, we should be involved in the work of making and encouraging disciples of Jesus Christ. Christ, our Passover lamb, gave himself fully and died for us. May we forever passionately live for him. If you desire to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, spending eternity in heaven with him while avoiding hell, you can. In order to make that step, we invite you to pray a similar prayer or to the one that we'll be sharing shortly. But again, giving your life to Christ is so very, very important. Again, the title of this article, Christ, Our Passover Lamb. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to share it with you. And we hope that you'll take it and use it as a tool for your own spiritual growth, but also a tool to share and talk with your family about as well. Thank you, Lord, again, for the privilege and the opportunity we have of being able to be a part of your family. Thank you for coming into this world a long time ago, making a way for us to be saved, and making us a part of your family. Thank you for the gift, the wonderful gift of Jesus Christ, the wonderful gift of salvation and eternal life. Lord, we ask that you pray. Lord, we pray for a fresh anointing of the spirit of evangelism and discipleship. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship. Stir us to be a people that are committed, that are fully committed to want to live a lifestyle of evangelism and discipleship. Lord, may we never be content realizing that so many are lost today. So many people do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So many people are sadly on a road going straight to hell. Open our eyes and our hearts, and Lord, empower us afresh with the spirit of compassion to want to do our part, to be a vessel you can use to help take as many people with us to heaven as we possibly can. Help us to be about your business of a lifestyle of evangelism, discipleship in such a way that every day we're wonderfully vessels used of your spirit to do just that. Help us to know, Lord, and understand the time is short, that again, that you're coming back soon, but for people that die without Christ, their time comes to an end immediately. Help us to know, Lord, that the business of the church, the business of your kingdom, is the most important business in the world and in the universe and in all of life. Lord, help us to redeem the time. Help us to make the most of every day. Help us to live so that every day we are available vessels through which your spirit can accomplish his perfect purposes through us every single day. Thank you for the chance to be a vessel through which you can get your work done. Help us to see with your eyes. Help us to hear with your ears. Help us to feel with your heart those things that are before your eyes and on your heart in the world. And Lord, help us to live wonderfully with a heart of compassion for all those that don't know you as Lord and Savior. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you are listening today and you have never made that step of asking Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day, a wonderful day to be saved. If you'd like to give your life to Christ, would you simply from your heart, would you pray this prayer today? Commit your heart to Christ and receive Christ and be saved today. Pray this prayer now with me from your heart as a salvation or recommitment prayer. Would you pray with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess. Lord, I've sinned and I've done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent. and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to follow you. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to live a life of obedience, following you every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ or recommitted your heart to the Lord, we want to be in touch with you. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We look forward to hearing from you. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, joseph@afr.net. If you want to get a copy of the article that we shared earlier, Christ, Our Passover Lamb, or any other articles we've shared in the past, simply email us. Same email, let us know the title that you want. We're glad to get these discipleship tools into your hands for you and your family to use and for you to share and forward to others. Hope you'll do that again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.